Sandy, is it a wonder how people keep volunteering to come and sit down and visit with us like this?
Oh, yeah.
It's amazing, yeah. At least we're doing it on your home turf here in the Yellow Room.
Feels good to be here.
How many years you think now you and Kay have partnered to do the Yellow Room class?
I think since 1986 or 7.
Yeah. Does it make you wish you had kept a diary of all of the stuff kids have said about their parents that you could sort of...
Absolutely. You can remember them for a while, and then pretty soon they start fading from your memory, but yeah, there was a lot of them.
Yeah, can you remember one funny thing that one of them said at some point?
I think my favorite was Michael Baggett's. I hope he doesn't see this because of COVID. We had been teaching about Noah. We were in the old building at the time. And we'd been teaching about Noah. And that Sunday night, Larry came in the back door and he said, Sandy, I got to tell you what Michael said. He said, they were in the process of potty training him. And he said, before we left, I asked him, Michael, do you need to go potty? And Michael said, no. Larry said, when's the last time you went? Michael said, not for 40 days,
and 40
nights.
That's the record.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how long have you two been a part of this congregation now?
We came shortly after you guys did.
Yeah.
So it's been close to 35 years.
Long time.
And it was September or so of 86.
Yeah, and so you guys have been around a long enough time to have known some great people who have gone on home now, and also you've seen a lot of new people come over time. If I ask you guys, what do you think would be one blessing that comes from being a part of a congregation over a long period of time that you don't get just in the short time here and there? What would be one blessing that you think you've seen this that way?
You get to know people's lives, their history. And for the kids, we've seen, like Kenneth Bowling, he stayed with us when he was 4 years old.
Yeah.
Now he's married, he has three kids of his own. So
yeah,
it's just wonderful to be part of the family.
So you kind of got watermill grandkids now over time too. And of course, a little bit of that you've had to bribe them along the way. I noticed Carrie, you showing up with the candy dish here and there. Is that that's one of the things that we've missed over this summer and spring, and that being able to do just stuff like that. You both have of course seen a lot of different things happen, but never anything like this where we've not been able to go through our usual routines like this.
I don't think so. Anybody that's alive today ever thought they would go through something like this.
What have you missed most going through this so far? I mean, we've done well. The Lord's been good to us and helped us through it, but what have you missed most about this?
I love people.
So you haven't heard of John Hewlett's the Carrie Cole rule? Well, you explain to our people why that's a joke.
Well, John apparently is not comfortable with people, especially men hugging him. And I've caught him at the airport.
And for people who don't remember, John is a pilot, and you run across John in an airport in some other town somewhere, and what's been your greeting to him?
Just a big old hug, and he just turns around.
I know, Carrie, that one of the reasons that we wanted to visit with you is you're different. In a different setting from other families, in that you are an entertainer. You've worked as an entertainer for a long while, and your work has been impacted by what's happened in the country during this period of time. So Tell our people what you and your brother Tracy have been doing for the last several years.
We played together since 1981. June 15th, 1981 is when he started. He came down to Springfield. He was 3 days out of high school.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to work for Tony Orlando in 1999. And so we've been with Tony traveling all over the world.
You're both musicians, and you guys not only do the vocal backups, but also the band
right.
for Tony. And so in your traveling to do performances or dates in different cities or towns or locations, this would have been a busy part of the year this spring and so forth for you guys. So what happened with all of that? Did the performances just all get stopped or canceled for a while? Or?
At first, they postponed some, then rescheduled them for 2021. And they were thinking maybe by July or August we'd go back to work. Now we may go back at the end of December, but that remains to be seen.
Yeah. So we've talked to different ones of our families through our visits this summer about how many have their jobs have just continued, and we've been grateful for that. Some of our families have had family members who've been furloughed for a period of time. None of those titles get applied to you in that way, but yet in your line of work, there's the work has just stopped in that way, and it's been different for you and for Tracy and his family as well.
And in that profession, not only musicians, but the stagehands, the lighting crew,
right.
the everybody's, nobody's working.
Right. And no one knows
right.
when or how that opens back up. Are your friends that you made in your work, are they generally doing well, or is this work on them emotionally and mentally too, or?
I think everybody's doing pretty good. We keep in contact either by phone or by Facebook Messenger.
Okay.
And I think everyone's doing okay. One of the people had some surgery done while this was going on, so that worked out good for them.
Mm-hmm.
They're all doing okay.
Yeah. So you talk about keeping in contact. Sandy, you work with the class here. How are you guys going about keeping in contact, at least to some degree, with the kids during this period of time? I know I've seen some of what Kay did in starting all of this. How about with you? Have you seen some of them in one way or another?
Kay's done the majority of it. In the beginning, we tried to scramble and figure out the best way to go about that. And it's hard with two-year-olds,
yeah.
And it's hard for the parents with two-year-olds. And so I know right now we're making sure we send home mail homes every week, and that in the beginning we were trying to FaceTime and stuff, and mm-hmm. I know Kay kept that up for a while. Her and I were kind of alternating, but I'm not sure if she's doing that still or if it's just the mail homes now. Now that we get to meet, that helps because
yeah.
at least we can see our kids,
right.
During service and after service and stuff. So. That's good.
Have you had any of the kids when they've, now that we've been trying to meet back and still not having classes, have you had any of them wanting to come in here or come to you and wanting to know about class?
They haven't yet, but I think there was one who was who came up to the building way back in the beginning,
mm-hmm.
One of the kids out of the home,
mm-hmm.
and he wanted so badly to come to class, one
yeah.
of the class,
yeah.
one of the class,
yeah.
So that makes you feel good.
Yeah. Carrie, you and we mentioned keeping in contact. I know you probably make more phone calls than anyone I know who doesn't get paid for it. You're a people person in that way, but you've helped to You've helped to stay in contact with a lot of our people here. You've had not only your usual group of callers that you call and check up on, but other families are part of our congregation here. Have you had any read on how people's spirits have been?
The group that I was assigned mostly were older men, single men,
mm-hmm.
and there was a lot of, I can't say apprehension, but they were just dumbfounded by what was going on.
Yeah.
They didn't know
like everybody. Yeah.
And some of them are worried about coming back and being in contact with people. They're not comfortable with it. But I noticed last two Sundays, three of them have been back.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's pretty good thing.
Thank you very much for checking keeping the lines of communication open for us. I know also right before this happened, your mom, who was a longtime member of our congregation here, moved to live with one of your brothers and to be cared for in that kind of situation. How long was it before this stay-at-home thing happened when she moved? It was like a month or 6 weeks or longer than that?
It was in November.
Yeah,
okay, a little longer than that.
Yeah.
Then. Okay. And how long was Miss Bonnie with us?
She was here from August of 92
mm-hmm.
till 2019.
Yeah. So a big part of our lives. Mm-hmm. How's she doing now?
She's doing wonderful.
All right. She gets to see this, and you get to tell her one thing, Carrie. What's your message to Miss Bonnie from Watermill here?
From Watermill, everybody asks about it.
Yeah.
And they miss you, and I know from talking to her, she's got some letters. She tells me everybody she gets letters from or calls. And it means a lot to her.
Good. Miss Bonnie, if you're with us, our message to you is he's just behaving about the same. I'm sorry I can't make a better report to you, but he's doing about the same. We see the opportunities and the work and so forth go on in the lives of our young people, like back to school and stuff like that, or junctures here. For those of us who don't have that kind of thing happening, what have you guys found to help keep your spirits up and keep going and so forth, and from the day-to-day stuff through this period of time?
Well, it's been unique for Sandy and I, because we haven't been around each other in 28 years. Because she worked days or I was gone.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the first time in 28 years we've been together.
What a shock, hasn't it?
<That's right. laughs> But it's been, we have, we tried each night study a little bit. We go over your thought for the day or the other's thought on the weekend. And read through that, try to discuss it. We just kind of hunker down. I mow the yard.
Yeah, that's one good thing about it, is at least this happened when stuff started growing.
Yeah.
And I know you enjoyed your keeping your beautiful lawn all along, so that part's been good about it. Sandy, we mentioned Miss Bonnie. Do you have family members away from here that you needed to check on through this period of time?
I have a sister who lives in Springfield.
Okay.
That I've seen from a distance with masks,
mm-hmm.
but I've seen and talked to her. I have a sister and a stepfather in Illinois,
mm-hmm.
and I talked to my stepfather about once a week,
mm-hmm.
something like once a week, and
okay.
talked to her too. So
okay.
they're doing okay. So
that's
far.
Good. Very good. Very good. Spiritually speaking, what has been, I mean, you mentioned that we haven't had a situation like this. What would be one lesson that you have noticed that you think we should learn from this? One point that we should take from this and that should stay with us?
I try not to give in to it and stay connected. Keep the faith.
Yeah, very good. Sandy, with him, one to you that stands out?
I think just take this opportunity, because it is an opportunity to be with your family and walk through family and just enjoy them. You know, we don't get this opportunity, you know, as a rule. So it's, that part has been a blessing. I think all the families out there who are reconnecting because they're not busy going different directions all the time.
Yeah.
So I think that is truly a blessing. Yeah.
So singing has been a big part of your life, not only in your work, but also in your spiritual life with the church and so on. For our people who don't know, Carrie, is it your grandpa who was a gospel preacher?
Yes.
All right, so what was his name? And
Darwin Reagan.
Okay.
And he preached in Arkansas until they moved to Rockville, Illinois in the 40s. And he preached up there and had a radio show.
Okay.
For years.
Yeah. And then I believe I've heard you say at some point that is it your mother's family who is related to the Lemons family over in northeast Arkansas?
Okay. Yeah. My Uncle Ken Lemons.
Okay. So your singing life has some roots in the church background, and your dad got you started singing leading singing and so on, and I've heard you talk about some of the lessons he would teach you about. What do you remember about that?
My dad was a unique character. He had his way of doing things, and that was it.
That's not so unique.
So. He wanted me to learn how to breathe from my diaphragm.
Mm-hmm.
And he stood me up against the wall. He said, "No, sing from here." And I sang, and he said, "Sing from there." Third time, he said, "Sing from there." And I grabbed his hand. I got it. But he was a great songwriter. He was a great songwriter.
Yeah. So tell me a bit, Carrie, in your words, what singing in church with the congregation means to you.
I think you can hear the joy in their voices.
Yeah.
There's times Sandy will tell me after church, "Well, you quit singing, they quit singing." But they sound so good, I want to listen to them. It just sounds beautiful up there. When you have between 300 and 400 people singing, it's just, I don't know, it's just beautiful.
It is, yeah. So you and I have talked sometimes about people that we have known when we remember their favorite songs. Can you tell me anybody from the congregation here that you've known where you attach a favorite song to them, one of their favorite songs, more than one if you can?
Ella Smith.
Okay.
She always loved a new song.
Yeah.
And Claude Barrett, The Old Rugged Cross.
Yes. Yeah.
And Helen Coltrane, Beautiful, comes to mind when I think of how she likes to sing us.
Yeah. What would be your favorite one if I ask you your favorite song?
Wouldn't be All Be Dead.
Okay. I thought it might be that, or The Glory Land Away one, yeah. Sandy, do you have a favorite church song, or one that you've heard Carrie sing that you love to hear him lead?
Well, I like to hear him sing a lot of the songs, but my favorite song is Sing and Be Happy.
Yeah.
So, I love that song.
Very good. Which one of the kids' songs in the Yellow Room is your, do you have a favorite song?
No, I think just watching the children as they sing is so exciting.
Yeah, they're big guys. Could you tell our folks who visit with us in this session, what are the main lessons that you guys teach in the yellow room here? What are the topics you guys touch on through the
years? I'm not sure I'll remember them in order.
Okay.
There is, thank you God for making me. Thank you God for families. We do Mr. Noah, we do baby Jesus, right. And thank you God for making everything.
That's very good, very good. And you guys do it with songs and with
hand
yes. Action.
They actually interact with
right.
Stuff that we have in class. And when we do baby Jesus, they dress up and they play the parts. You know, we put on kind of a play and they play the parts. They love that.
And you guys have them over a year of their lives where they change quite a bit, right. Don't they? You see them grow quite a bit.
I think when we first get them, just getting them to stay in their chair, when they come in and finally sit in their chair through the whole class, it's like, yay.
Yeah. So as I'm talking with you guys, we still are in a situation here where we're having a pretty high number of positive tests and so forth in our county here, and we're still limited on some of the things that we can do. Have there been concerns that you guys have noticed or had in your lives thinking about the time that we're going through right now and looking down the road here a little ways?
I went to see Mom in March.
Mm-hmm.
And that was right when everything is starting.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I called Sandy from O'Hara. I said, I'd seen one person in the airport wear a mask. And I came back a few days later, still the same. But about 3 days later, when everything hit, they closed everything down.
Yeah.
So we don't see that much. I mow the yard and we go to church, and that's about it.
Yeah. So a lot of the stuff that would make you concerned would be stuff you'd either see in the news or in that kind of thing. I know you guys have been careful to try to not cause anybody else to get sick too. And I know that kind of thing has been something that you've helped pay attention to with that. But care for people who don't know, if you're comfortable in telling us this, you had a health issue a few years back that would make you need to pay attention to some of this, didn't you? How long ago has that been?
It was May 10th of 2011.
Okay. So it's been 9 years. Doesn't seem that long ago, you know, in a lot of ways. So you've done well, man. Sandy has taken good care of you, I'd say.
Between her and my brother and my therapist, none of them would take no for an answer.
Okay. What's been something about our people here which has been really encouraging to you while we've been going through the interrupted schedules of this summer? Something that's been really encouraging to you, you've taken some delight in?
The Kenyon clan, that's with the Thrashers and the Usseries, who came by one day just to see us and had signs for them.
Yeah.
And that was so cool.
Yeah.
And then Elijah and Claudia came up by one day to check us out.
Very good. Just little things,
yeah.
Man. Thoughtful, very thoughtful things, though, happy things that you guys saw with that. Here are the things that you hope keep happening.
I think the desire, we just have, I mean, we've always been close, and we've always loved each other dearly. But the desire to stay connected and to be together is just so strong, and hope it always stays that way.
Yeah, me too, yeah.
I think probably the simplicity with which you live, I hope that stays up, that we don't get so caught up in things like we were.
Yeah, the way of simplifying has been that would have probably been a lesson that a lot of our lives would have needed. I know mine would have, and I hope that keeps on too. Have you been able to follow what's been happening, what our young people have been doing, and what they and their families have been doing? What encourages you about what you see in that?
Again, the enthusiasm. I mean, they have been so excited about Camp Wilderness and the earlier one with the youth group. And it's just there, when you watch it and you see them, you just see this excitement to be connected and learning, you know. It's just, it's wonderful. It's wonderful to know that they have that longing.
Don't they? Yeah, that I agree longing. With that. Yeah. Enthusiasm.
Yeah.
I think your son-in-law came prepared and hit the ground running when he got here.
I started to ask which one that would be. Since I only have one, I guess I couldn't find it. Yeah. Right time for us, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And it's interesting how in the providence of God, things, I mean, we notice the things that are big challenges to us, and not as much the things that are what we need at the time that comes in. So I'm thankful for that too, and I think Justin's been a lot of help to us in that way. I wanted to ask a little bit about the services that we didn't get to everybody come to during that. I know, Carrie, you helped us with the singing in a lot of situations while we've been making our way through this. And I also know that you guys participated in the live stream things from home a lot. So what do you miss most? Whenever we're not able to be all here together.
I think even now being here is somewhat different, because after services are over, even before they start.
I agree with that.
It's pretty quiet, and the kids aren't running around, and you hear that noise, and the liveliness and happiness. Not to say that they're not happy now, but everybody's just cautious, you know.
Yeah, we're here, but it's a little subdued still. I noticed that too about it. And so it's a little bit more reserved afterward and before in that way. And that's something I hope we don't have to deal with forever. How about you, Sandy? You think of
what I miss about even coming, now that we are coming, is to see their smiling face.
Yes.
You know? I mean, you can tell people are smiling with their eyes, but
Justin mentioned their smiling eyes.
Yeah. It's not the same as seeing that smiling face.
Yeah.
It just warms your heart.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Good.
It's better than not being able to be together at all, but it's still not what we hope it will be before very long. How about the Justin in leading singing, other than the obvious things, but has it seemed loud to you for so few people? And I mean, they're two-thirds of us basically, but we're sitting here with masks and so forth and singing. After leading songs with just the empty room, does that sound beautiful?
Oh, no. See, I was amazed the first Sunday. It sounded like somebody turned the speakers up at 12, you know? And it just sounded so great. And it was different. I mean, I've sung many times over my career to very few people. And so singing to an empty building was strange, but I've been there before.
Yeah.
The only thing strange for me was when my voice would break or I had coughed with nobody else singing.
And I would be singing.
You covered for me well.
Oh, yeah. I do real well in empty building, yeah. When you guys pray for us, looking down the road, you know, months, year, what are your prayers for the Watermill congregation?
for me, it's that we continue in faith. We continue as God would have us to. That we strive to teach the young people.
Yeah.
So they can grow in faith.
Yeah.
And hopefully that we can grow as a congregation, not only in number, but in strength and love.
Yeah. Yeah. Very good. Anything to add to that, Sandy?
I think that we continue the way we are. We are a very loving and caring and compassionate congregation.
Yeah.
And for that, we always will be.
Yeah,
you know, I can't see us never not being, but,
yeah,
you know, that it, I know people who've just come to visit who've said, that's such a warm congregation, you know, they just felt welcome. So,
We hope people would feel that way. Carrie and Sandy, you guys are a blessing to our congregational life, not just in the leading or the teaching or that kind of thing that you have to do, but just in the presence with happiness, with joy. So I appreciate that very, very much. And I want to thank you both for being willing to come and sit down and visit for a while about things and thank you for what you mean to this congregation, both of you.
Well, thank you. I think this congregation was a lifesaver for us.
Yes.
When we first came here, we thought of geography where we lived. Well, North Nashville was closest. We thought, we'll try that first and see how it is. We never went anywhere else.
That's good.
It was a loving, they accepted us. And you and I had a bond from the beginning. We still have that bond.
Yeah. Well, we treasure your friendship and have a whole bunch of memories now over the years. We thank the Lord for. Thanks for the visit. And Sandy, it was painless, wasn't it?
Not exactly.
All right. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.